Hey everyone, I'm Blair O'Neill with the Golf Channel, and you're listening to Southern Fairways Radio, hosted by Randy Bergen. Now, let's have some fun with Southern Fairways Radio.
Here's Tua stepping back, loads up, looks long, throws, end zone, touchdown! Alabama! Devontae Smith! Touchdown, Alabama! And the Crimson Tide has once again ascended to the top of the college football mountain. Their fifth national championship in 9 years, their 17th overall.
45, there goes Davis!
Oh my God!
Davis is going to run it all the way back! Auburn's going to win the football game! He ran it back 109 yards! Holy cow! Oh my God! Auburn wins! Auburn has won the Iron Bowl!
Oh, no. In your life have you seen anything like that?
Time. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show as we are broadcasting live from our Strixon studios located right here in South Alabama. And as always, today's show is presented by McConnell Automotive, where there are no shenanigans and hassle-free buying at McConnell Automotive. They're located just east of I-65 on Dolphin Street in Mobile, or you can check them out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. I am Randy Bergen. Boy, and we have got a cast of characters in here today. Let me start to my left, Big 89, Russ Wood, hanging out with us. Russ, what's going on, my man?
Well, just another day, you know, Raging Cajun Week.
Raging Cajun Week.
Something like that. Okay. If you know Cajun words, I mean, that's where I leave.
But we're going to talk. Okay, so we're going to talk LSU football with you here.
Oh, okay, that's
in
it.
Just a
that's
little bit.
It, yeah.
But I've got a guest. Casey, come here. Introduce this guy right here. Will you do it for me?
I'm happy to introduce the next guest. Hi, this is Casey Kasem, and we're counting down America's Top 40. Coming in at number one this week is the young man from Moss Point, Mississippi, Hall of Famer Coach Barry Gibson, and Vehicle.
I'm the friendly stranger in the back seat. Won't you hop inside my car?
Gee, I always got to bring you in like that. I mean, look, Howard Coach Sell walked in a few moments ago. And
Thank
I said,
you, Howard.
No, Howard, you cannot.
That
how
never
you
gets old, man. It never gets old.
How you doing, bro?
That was some fun times singing with the band for Doc Rogers and the Rock Dodgers. We had a lot of good times, but no, thank you for doing that. I appreciate that. Man, I'm doing great, though, Randy. Glad to be here, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You had a little bit of a knee issue?
Yeah. You know, these old football knees, you know, mess with you. Over the years, I hyperextended my good knee. My surgical knee that I had knee replacement is doing fine. My supposed good knee, I had a little trip and hyperextended. But I'm good, man. I hop along a little bit. As long as I can get up and go, I'm good.
There you go. Hey, we got a lot of football to get into today, and we're going to do that in just a little bit. But I do want to remind you, coming up in our next segment, we're going to head down to Fairhope, Alabama. They've got a big chili cook-off, and Matt Brandt with Boudreaux's Cajun Grill, he's down there. He's going to tell us all about it, and we'll even talk a little football with him as well, get his thoughts on the Alabama-LSU game. We'll kind of go around the SEC. I know for Southern Miss, of course, you played at Southern Miss, Barry, a long time ago.
Don't have to say it that many times.
Hey, but Southern Miss is in Arkansas. They're playing Arkansas State today.
Absolutely. And, boy, what a turnaround, Randy, from last year. You know, we fired our coach, which I was glad to see that. And we were 1-11 last year. And then we bring in Charles Huff, who used to coach for Coach Saban at Alabama. Charles has done a phenomenal job. We're bowl eligible. We're undefeated in the conference, in the Sun Belt Conference. So, you know, we could end up actually winning the conference. We need, but man, when you go from 1-11, you know, to 6-2, and
you're 4-0 in the conference.
4-0 in the conference. What a turnaround! He has done a phenomenal job. So proud of my alma mater, Southern Miss.
So, do you think he stays? Everybody's got to be coming after him.
I was going to say I've heard his name on with the crazy coaching carousel out there right now.
Who knows?
I've heard his name and the coach at Troy State, too. Both of them, you know, both Troy and Southern Miss, both of, you know, those coaches have done a good job with programs, and coaches are being looked at.
Which, if he leaves, I hope he leaves all those players he brought with him.
When he came to Marshall.
If he leaves, at least let the players stay. Don't travel with him again. So who knows?
And that's kind of one of the topics we're going to get into today. As you mentioned, the coaching carousel going around. Of course, Hugh Freeze was fired last week. You got Napier is gone.
Kelly.
Brian Kelly's gone at LSU. Of course, we know Franklin's going to Penn State, but I mean that there's
Sam
a lot.
Pittman, Arkansas.
Pittman gone. That's right. Yeah. So who's going to start filling in these coaching spots? Where do they go? I mean, because if you pull a Huff from Southern Miss, well, who's going to go in his spot? You just start seeing a lot of movement.
Absolutely,
a lot of pieces moving around.
Yeah,
but you know, back in the day, and you know, Barry can remember this, that usually when a coach left, there was a guy on the staff that they kind of bumped up. He was ready. Mm-hmm. Now they're picking the offense and defensive coordinators to go be head coaches again. Mm-hmm. There was kind of a trend where they went head coaches to head coaches. And then years ago, they would go after the good D coordinators. And that's where a lot of these guys under good programs, you know, Saban had, you know, 25 coaches, I think, you know, under him. And, you know, Coach Bryant did back in the day. I think he had over 30 coaches that ended up being head coaches under his 23 years. So, and all these great coaches had that staff. Now the staffs don't stay together that long.
Right.
So.
And I think Rose is starting to get more about the fit for a program instead of just who's the next best coach out there we can get. I think they are really relying on is, will he be a good fit for this program? You know, Charles Huff was a good fit for Southern Miss. Not so sure he'll be a good fit at Auburn, you know, or Florida. Who knows? You know, so it's all about the money. You know, of course, that they throw big money around. But I think instead of just saying, yeah, that's a hot coach out there, let's get him. If he's not a good fit, I don't think he gets the job.
You know, speaking of Auburn, I mean, the defensive coordinator, DJ Durkin, listen, he was formerly a head coach at Maryland. The guy can coach. He's a good coach. He may be that fit for Auburn that they need right now, because think about it. You come in, where would you go right now? Who would be the next coach at Auburn? And if you look at Auburn, LSU, Arkansas, and Florida, take those four SEC schools. Where do you go? Where do you pull the coach from?
Really?
Okay, I mean, we know that Lane Kiffin is probably going to stay at Ole Miss.
His daughter's going to make sure he stays there.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you know, you got to look at Auburn. Unfortunately, you know, the AD's new. You know, Cohen, I think, is his name. You know, John Cohen or something. But you know, he's kind of skating, and he's trying to back. You know, he was trying to back Hugh Freeze a week ago, and now he's not saying Durkin is his guy. He's looking, you know, so, you know, the boosters, unfortunately, at Auburn run a lot of that show, and they're going to probably want, somebody from outside. Even though Durkin, I agree, would be a great, you know, a good defensive coach at a school in a rebuilding program can get it done quicker than an offensive.
Yeah, but I got to feel like they're going to go after an offensive guy, because where they were hurting this year was offense.
Well, I mean, you can't be the head. Listen, I think if you're the head coach, you can't be the offensive coordinator.
I also agree.
You had an offensive coordinator. You can't call Barry, and you've been a head coach, and you played defense 89, but you can't call two plays and then your offensive coordinator call two plays.
No.
It ain't going
to
work.
I don't believe that. I know. You got to set plays up, you know, as a play caller, and that's one of the things I really enjoyed doing as a head coach. Now, in high school, it's done all the time, you know, but in college, that's a different animal, man. That's a whole different animal, because the head coach has so many other responsibilities that he's got to take care of. So, yeah, I just don't believe when you got it. And nowadays, you got an offense coordinator, a head coach calling play, you got a run game coordinator, you got a pass game coordinator. Now, who's going to, you know, between all those guys, you never get in a rhythm, in my
opinion. Imagine the headset talk on that, you know, coming from the press box?
Well, I mean, let's go back. Let's go back to your day. Coach Bryant, could you see him calling offensive plays?
He never
plays?
Called a play.
No.
Now,
how about Saban?
He would call them on the sideline during a timeout or during a situation. He would grab Mal Moore and tell him to do something. Now, Coach Moore's got a bunch of stories, you know, great stories where he told him not to run a certain play and Coach Moore ran it, you know.
How'd that work out?
And Coach Moore said we scored on the play, and Coach Bryant said, you might want to run that again, you know. So, yeah. But he had told him not to run an option play. So.
Right, right. All right, hey, look, we'll take our first time out. When we come back, we're going to visit with Matt Brandt, part of Boudreaux's Cajun Grill. They're going to be a big chili cook-off down in Fairhope. We'll talk chili, which is your favorite 89.
Well, is he going to bring us a sample?
Well, I don't know about that.
And hang a key on. Lime
I'm,
pie.
I'm doing a tease right now, okay?
Okay.
Now, you know, he's got that boy can sing right there, little Teddy Swims.
Absolutely. Love him.
Huh?
Love him.
He's got music. He's got some good music.
That
no
boy
doubt.
Can sing.
Hey, welcome back to Southern Fairways. Randy Bergen along with Big 89, Russ Wood, and Coach Barry Gibson, the Hall of Famer, hanging out with us right here in our Strixon studios. And, guys, time to go to our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line and welcome in, well, the guy that owns Boudreaux's Cajun Grill, our good friend, Matt Brandt. Matt, how you doing, brother?
Doing great, guys. How are y'all this beautiful Saturday morning?
Well, we are doing fantastic. You are in the beautiful town of Fairhope, Alabama. What is going on down there?
I'll tell you what. You hear the noise in the background. It is a party getting ready to start. So I'm at the Halstead Amphitheater here in Fairhope. We are about to kick off the Kiwanis Best of the Bay Gumbo Championship. We're out here serving our Bayou Gumbo from Boudreaux's Cajun Grill. From 11 to 2 today. So if you're around the area, come on out. We'd love to have you.
So I said it was a chili cook-off. It's not a chili cook-off.
Gumbo.
It's a gumbo cook-off. That's even
That's
better.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, gumbo cook-off. So we've got everything from restaurants out here to offices to there's apparently a sheriff's race going on. I've got signs everywhere for elect me. So there's a little bit of everything out here, just like a good gumbo, a little bit of everything.
Hey, Matt, let me ask something, dude. Have you put that, that Cajun seasoning that you gave me and Randy a couple of weeks ago? By the way, my wife puts that on everything now at the house. I don't care
it's
what
fantastic.
We have. She puts that seasoning. I'm sure that's in that gumbo, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know what? And look, that I love hearing that because the tagline is, Boudreaux's Cajun seasoning makes everything taste better, and it makes our gumbo taste better, too, because we've got that in the gumbo, some of our main ingredients. We've got that in our crawfish etouffee. We've got that in our Mardi Gras pasta, our voodoo pasta. Man, we got our seasoning is good everywhere on everything. A buddy of mine even ate it on pizza the other night, and I was like, I have not tried that yet. I must try that. So that will be the next trial.
How about the key lime pie? Does it go good on the key lime pie?
Why don't you try that and let us
I
know?
Am. Yeah, I am.
Yeah, really.
I will tell you what I did do. Matt, you know this. I put it on grilled pineapple. Mm. Try that. And it was fantastic. It was fantastic. Got to ask you this, Matt. Maybe you'll share it with us. Maybe you want. What's some of the ingredients in your Boudreaux's Cajun Grill gumbo?
Well, what makes it very unique to Boudreaux's, one, we've got a dark roux. So some people call it a burnt roux. So that scares some folks. It's a dark roux. It's not burnt. We're very good at what we do, so we don't burn it. But we do make a dark roux, and we have a traditional Bayou gumbo. Now, this isn't just your regular seafood gumbo or your ya-ya gumbo where you have chicken and sauces. This is a Bayou gumbo. We've got andouille. We've got shrimp. We've got crab. We've got tomatoes and okra and a dark roux. You're not going to find anything like it anywhere.
If you've not tried it, guys, you've got to go to Boudreaux's Cajun Grill and try the gumbo. It is absolutely fantastic. And I'm not, Matt, you know, I'm not just saying that because, hey, you're my buddy and because of Boudreaux's Cajun Grill. I'm telling you, it is fantastic. If you've not been to Boudreaux's Cajun Grill, and if you've been to Boudreaux's Cajun Grill, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Head over there. They're just south of I-10 on Highway 98, a driver, maybe wedge from the interstate.
Yeah, Randy, let me tell you, man.
Maybe two drivers, Randy.
Last Sunday.
For you.
Yeah, last Sunday, my wife wanted to go to brunch. So you know where we went.
Oh, yeah.
We loaded up straight to Boudreaux's. You know, saw Matt there. There is nothing like a beautiful Sunday morning. You know, we didn't go to church that day, so I'm kind of telling myself.
I was going to say, you need to be in church.
Well, we did. You know, but we skipped this one. But on a back on the deck, we said the weather was perfect. I got the voodoo pasta with the blackened gator.
Oh, man, is that good?
My favorite, you know. And, but it was just unbelievable. So, listeners, if you haven't done that yet, if you want a good brunch, that's the place to go. Go to Boudreaux's.
Did you have key lime pie, though?
I did not. I had a Bushwhacker for dessert.
You know, there's home runs and there's grand slam. And when you do the key lime pie on top
I've had it before.
Okay.
Let me just say, we are going to be doing some shows from the back deck.
Yes.
Coming up soon, too, with the weather the way it is.
I'm in.
Yeah. It's always, Matt, you know, it's always fun when we do that.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to that because now we're open 11 to 9 on Saturday, which just started happening a few weeks ago. And so we'll be out there. We can do the show from 10 to 11, sit back, and we can get bushwhacked too, buddy. We can make it happen.
There you go. Yes, sir. My man.
All right.
My man.
Well, look, I know you got to run here in a second, but let's talk a little football real quick. The Tigers of LSU tonight at 6:30. Of course, they have coaches, but they don't have a head coach right now. How do you see this ball game? Who do you predict will be the head coach for LSU?
All right, so those are good questions. I'm going to go with a very bold score here, and I thought this was a little high. My son was talking about this morning. I put some thought into it, and you know what? He might be right. I'm going to go with Bama's going to roll 42-14. Over LSU, because LSU is a little discombobulated. And you know what? I expect to see – I don't know who's going to be coached, because the coaching carousel is ridiculous right now. But I do think all along the SEC, we're going to see a bunch of signs in the stadiums that don't say we want Bama. They're going to say we want Saban.
Yep.
Yep. I agree with that. That'll be interesting for sure. How do you like the Auburn-Vanderbilt game? Of course, Auburn also coachless. They have an interim coach.
Yeah, I think Vanderbilt's going to take this one. I mean, Vanderbilt coming off a loss. They are not happy. They're going to get out there. They're going to do their job, and they're going to get a little revenge on an SEC team. And unfortunately, Auburn's in their crosshairs right now. I just don't think Auburn's got the consistency on either side of the ball to hold up to the power that Vanderbilt's showing us right now.
Good stuff.
I think Vanderbilt's going to freeze them out.
Wow. Wow.
Nice.
All right. Hey,
nice.
Matt, listen, man. I know y'all are having fun down there in Fairhope. And, hey, good luck to you and your Brandt Invitational. May you bring the trophy home this year. I don't think you've done it before, have you?
Let's just make sure we talk about the correct trophy, because there's two in our event, our family Brandt Invitational Golf event with 16 of us. There is a championship trophy, which, no, I have not brought home before. There's also the toilet bowl trophy. Unfortunately, yes, I have brought that home once, but it is never to return.
Imagine that. All right. Hey, Matt, thanks for hanging out with us. Good luck on your gumbo cook-off, and maybe we can head down there and try some of that gumbo. Mm-hmm. Now, before you go, where are you having it? Where is it going on in Fairhope?
All right, so we're at the Halstead Amphitheater, right downtown Fairhope. It's a fantastic venue. We got about 29 teams out here making gumbo, so some will be great, some will be questionable, but it'll all be an experience. Come out here and join us. I believe the tickets are like $15 a piece at the gate, and look, you're getting 30 different styles of gumbo for $15. You can't get a better experience than that. So come on down here today. Enjoy the beautiful weather. We got a Veterans Day parade in downtown Fairhope right now as well. So come join us. Boudreaux's Cajun Grill at the Halstead Amphitheater today, and we'll be at the restaurant today as well, today and tomorrow. So come on and see us there.
There you go. Boy, good report right there, Matt. You need to think about, if you give up cooking, maybe becoming a broadcaster.
All right, buddy.
I tell you, win or lose, though, you're the best, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, buddy. And he was heading the right direction. The money's better at Boudreaux's.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, unless you're Jim Nance.
If we go become contest testers, we probably don't have to pay, do we?
I'll give you $15.
Okay. That's what he's asking.
Well, okay. we got some good games going on. We're going to break those down for you coming up here in just a little bit. But I'll tell you one, Texas A&M and Missouri should be a very good game. Of course, Texas A&M ranked 3 in the nation. Mm-hmm. They are 3rd. Missouri ranked 22nd. There's a guy right there, mm-hmm. Missouri coach.
Yep.
Watch him. I mean, I know they made a big commitment to him at Missouri. They're doing all that addition to the mm-hmm. stadium. But yep. money talks.
Well, you know, like Coach was saying a minute ago, it's a fit. Even though, you know, we all think it's the money, and it's not as much the money as probably is the contracts, that the crazy contracts, the 8 and 10-year deals, the buyouts. And a lot of these buyouts, that all we hear about is the X number of dollars, but there's a lot of background to the buyouts for coaches to go and coach at another location. That other school has to pay that buyout. So that's going to become a huge issue of some of these schools. Do they want to pay the buyout of this coach we want from where he's about to leave? So there's a lot of background to the coaching searches, too, that we don't even know about.
Yeah, and talking about the game, Missouri's probably in trouble today against Texas A&M because they're starting a true freshman quarterback.
Yep.
Their starter went down with a leg injury. He's out. So Missouri is going with a true freshman, his first start in an SEC game. So that's going to be interesting to see.
A&M's defense, they are getting after it, and that's what's got them where they are. They've had some close games, but when your defense can shut a team down.
Well, they've got the spread right now. Texas A&M's giving up 6.5 points. But based on
it's probably more now.
The over-under on it was 48.5.
Yep.
So that'll be an interesting game for sure. Do want to talk more college football, but I got to ask you, did you watch the World Series?
Yes.
Some. I listened some.
Did you?
What a comeback by the Dodgers.
Man, I got to tell you, that was probably perhaps one of the best World Series I've watched in a long time.
Me too.
Yep. I mean, the first game went, 18 innings?
18, yeah.
Yeah. Who stayed up and watched that one?
How many hours was that? I forgot. It set a world record. I mean.
I think it was like 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning for us.
Yeah, it was crazy. And the fact that, you know, what they had to play, they played 2 days later, you know, in the next game.
They played the next day.
The next day.
That's right.
And they didn't even give them a break.
No. Well, they're not going to say, okay, hey, you played 18 innings.
Right.
We're going to reschedule the World Series. No, they don't do that. You're going to play, all right?
Exactly.
But it was good. I found myself pulling for the Blue Jays and found myself pulling for the Dodgers. So,
yep. Nobody gave them a chance when they were 2 games down to come back and win 2 straight like they did. So it was a great comeback by Los Angeles.
We mentioned it a little bit earlier. Woodrow Lowe, the great Alabama linebacker, passed away 2 days ago. When we come back, we're going to talk some football. We'll break down some of these games for you. But I want you to tell us about your experience playing against Woodrow Lowe, Barry.
Yeah,
be okay.
Glad to.
Sure. That should be a fun story.
Sure.
All right, don't go anywhere. More of Southern Fairways right after this.
Hey, get her done. You know who this is Larry the Cable Guy. And you know who you're listening to? That's right, Randy Bergen on Southern Fairways Radio Show. And if you're not listening to him, you're a communist. These boys is good.
When you have old guests in the building with you, you go back, you play old music.
Heck yeah.
A little Boston, man. That's pretty good stuff right there.
Beat, no doubt.
Hey, welcome back to Southern Fairways. I am Randy Bergen along with Big 89, Russ Wood, and Hall of Fame Coach Barry Gibson in the house with us. If you're just tuning in, we talked about it. The Hall of Famer Woodrow Lowe passed away a couple of days ago. He'd been ill for, I think, a little while and passed away at the age of 71. But, boy, was he a legend, and is he a legend at the University of Alabama?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. He was in an era where, you know, he was in that first phase of integration and, you know, ended up, you know, he was all the SEC, I think, 3 years, you know, ended up playing 10, 12 years in the NFL, then became a high school coach for many years. But just, I met him.
He was up there with Tim Carter at Auburn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I met him a few times, but, you know, in our socials and stuff, and super nice guy, just, you know, and then, but watching him on the field, watching him on, you know, film, he was the beginning. He was inside linebacker, and he was kind of the beginning of that athlete that could go sideline to sideline. You know, in the early days, it was the big Dick Butkus, you know, between the tackles, you know, those kind of guys that just smash people. But Woodrow was one of those that could go sideline to sideline.
He's a good one for sure. Now, Barry, you played for Southern Miss. You were wide out, punt return, kickoff return. You had an opportunity to play against the University of Alabama, and you had a little run-in with Woodrow.
I did. He was one of, first of all, great guy, as Russ said, just an unbelievable person. But, yeah, we were playing Alabama in Tuscaloosa, and I had to play against Bama all 4 years. I was at Southern Miss, which, you know, that wasn't a whole lot of fun back then. Coach Bryant was
the coach. You should have been there in 80, too, thank you very much.
Okay, if I can share this story with you, I'll tell you. We were playing Alabama, and Woodrow's at linebacker, one of the meanest guys I've ever seen, very athletic. So we called a sweep play to my side. I was flanked out to the left, and my job was to go down and crack block the first linebacker that shows up so the tailback can get around the corner, around the edge. So we call the play. Jeff Bowers, quarterback, and he pitches it to our running back, and Ben Gary, and I go down. Here I go down to crack block. Well, it's Woodrow Lowe standing there. Now, I will say this. He didn't see it coming, all right? He was looking into the backfield. I got down there in the box pretty quick and was able to hit him before he really saw me coming. So I just hit him with everything I had. He went down, and I said, boy, I'm feeling pretty good about this. I just knocked Woodrow Lowe down, boy. And so I go back to the huddle. We gained about 14 yards on the play. So I go back to the huddle. I'm feeling pretty, you know, good. But then the worst thing that ever happened. Because we gained 14 yards, they decided to call the same dang play again, back to back. So I got a flag out there again. This time, as soon as they turned and pitched the ball to our running back, here I go down to Craig Woodrow. He immediately turned and looked at me. He knew it was coming then. You get him once, you ain't going to get him twice. He's too good a football player. So I had to go on down in there and try to – and he knocked me, Randy, on my little butt, 165-pound butt. I mean, he just – man, took his arms, and he was strong, too. He was very strong. So it was payback time for him. You know, so I got crack blocked, you know, and he stepped over me trying to get – and then he ran the ball down and made the tackle after he knocked me on my butt. So – that was my memory of Woodrow Lowe. One good play and one not so good.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, anytime you get blocked like that, you know, now that I think the sissy rule is you can't crack back, you can't blindside block anymore. But
right.
As an outside linebacker, I saw it a lot with the flanks. And
yep.
Willie Gault from Tennessee tried to do the same thing.
That was your boy, wasn't it? Willie
yep.
Gault was your man.
Yep.
Willie Gault came out and he did that to me. And the next time I think I took his helmet off, you know. So
it's just but my memory of Woodrow, like I said, what a great player.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the best in the history of Alabama. So I cherish those moments that I had to. And then he and I talked after the game and about I got you first year, but I got you the next time. You know, just a great guy. So that really breaks my heart to hear of his passing.
Yeah, yeah, it's sad for sure. 71 years old. So the show dedicated to, we'll say, to Woodrow and the University of
number
Alabama.
47.
He wore the old horse collar.
Yeah, he did.
I did too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you?
I had to. Yeah. I had a jammed neck.
Yeah.
I mean,
that was from guys like me cracking back.
Yeah,
blocking.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why.
The truth be known, in the sixth grade, I jumped off a pier into 2 foot of water, you know, thinking I was cute. And
how'd that work
out? I was about an inch away from breaking my neck, the doctor said.
Wow.
I was trying to jump and skim across, you know, at the end of the pier. My sister and her friends, skis were sitting at the end, and whoever got there first got to ski first. They were ahead of me, so I was going to jump and skim across the top and grab them, right? Well, I hit sand. My feet, I mean, half my body was still out of the water.
Wow.
They had to take me to the emergency room. And
you were, what, wow. How old?
Sixth grade.
Yeah, you were probably 6'3 by then. That water's real shallow when you're that big.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Hey, you know, one of the things I asked in the prep sports report earlier with Mark Lassiter, I had asked, what game really stood out to him in all of his coaching and all of the playoffs? Of course, Barry, you are a longtime high school coach. You coached in college. You coached at Tennessee. Willie Gault, you were a wide receivers coach. Willie Gault was your man there. Mm-hmm. Is there a game that just stands out, whether it was a game you played in or a game you coached in, that just stands out among the rest of them?
Absolutely, there is. When I was on the staff at Tennessee, since you brought that up, we had won the SEC championship that year. We go down to New Orleans to play in the Sugar Bowl against Miami. Now, Miami was undefeated. Jimmy Johnson was the head coach. They had Michael Irvin at wideout and Benny Blades and all this great. Vinny Testaverde had just won the Heisman Trophy. Mm-hmm. He was their quarterback. So we got to play Miami, all right, down there. They were 17.5 points favorite over us. Nobody was giving us a chance. Nobody. So we go out there and play them in the Sugar Bowl and down in the Superdome in New Orleans, and we kick off to them, and never will forget this. And they take the ball, and Testaverde completes the first seven passes he throws. Bam, bam. They go right down the field and score. Randy, it's 7-0 before people even got settled in their seats, you know, and everybody's going, yeah, this is going to be a blowout. So I never will forget it. One of our linebackers, Kelly Ziegler, great kid, came off the field, and Coach Majors is standing there, and Coach Majors is screaming and hollering. Kelly said, Coach, don't worry about it. He said, we got them right where we want them. You know, he's done. That's all they're going to get. Well, he was right. We scored 35 unanswered points and beat Miami 35-7. Wow. That was the only score.
What year was that, Coach?
That was 1987.
Okay.
87. Mm-hmm. We won the SEC in 86. Matter of fact, Ken Donahue, who was a longtime defense coordinator for Coach Bryant at Alabama, was our defense coordinator. Yeah. Majors brought in Donahue. He put in like 11 different blitzes that Miami had not seen all year. And we sacked Testaverde like 8 or 9 times, fumbled. We intercepted him 3 times. But that game stood out to me. That 35 unanswered points for our kids after being scored on the first drive was very, I tell you, it was very memorable for sure.
On TV, we got to see how fast Gault was. How fast was he in real life?
Put it this way, our defensive backs gave him a 30-yard cushion.
Well, he was world-class.
I mean, he could run the go route, and if you didn't spin and take off running, you couldn't watch the ball. They would run the go route passes to him. He would do a little shuffle step. Coach knows all about that, you know, the little goofy step, we called it. And then once he took off, our strong safety would have to take an angle all the way to the flag on the end zones to catch up with him. I mean, it was crazy to watch how fast he really was. And he had another guy, I can't remember, Coach. They had 3 of the 4x100 SEC championship team as wide receivers.
They did. Anthony Miller was one of them. He could fly.
Yeah, and then they didn't run the 3 wide that much, but when they did, you knew something was fixing to happen.
Yep.
And it probably wasn't good.
No.
Unless you're a Tennessee fan. All right, Russ, what was one of your most memorable games?
You know, of course, the last game, the Liberty Bowl, was very special in a sad way. But the year before, when the 81 season, when we played Penn State for the 3-14, when he tied Alonzo Stagg as the winningest coach, we played up in Neyland's – whatever the stadium is at Penn State, I don't know, 90-something thousand, 100,000, whatever they had, and it was, you know, very hostile. But Penn State fans were great. But Todd Blackledge was their quarterback. They had all-pro running back. They had a really good team. And that game was one of those that Coach Bryant really didn't promote, but we all knew the meaning of it. And it just happened to be against Penn State. And winning that game – and the way we did it, and one of the neat things about that game, we held Penn State 7 downs inside the 5-yard line. We had 3 downs. Our defensive back got called for interference, so they got a first down on the 3-yard line. We held them 7 downs. Coach Bryant tipped his hat to us coming off the field.
Oh, really?
And you can see it in the replay, and not a lot of people understand that, but Warren Lyles, our defensive tackle, did a cartwheel coming off the field. And Coach Bryant said on his show the next day, he said, yeah, He said Barry Krause and the boys will be jealous of that series because y'all outdid them. They only held them 3 downs. Y'all held them 7. So that was a big moment. That was a big moment.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Mm. All right. Hey, look, a lot of games going on. We're going to kick off here in just a little bit. Georgia is over in Stark, Vegas to take on the Bulldogs of Mississippi State. You know, there's a lot of folks saying Mississippi State might upset Georgia.
Absolutely.
It could happen.
I mean, when's the last time that game day or whatever they call it is,
yeah,
the show is at Starkville and not at LSU, Alabama, or, you know, A&M in Missouri? They're in Mississippi State today.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like,
the SEC might be there. The game day is not. Game day is at Texas Tech.
Yeah, that's right. Game
SEC,
day.
SEC, yeah.
The SEC is there. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So
the SEC's
how
there.
You see that, Coach? I know your lovely bride is a Bulldog.
She is.
Alumni.
She is a Mississippi State graduate. I tell you, they're getting better. And that could be a trap game for Georgia because I'm telling you, unless you have experienced it, and I have as a player and a coach, you go into Starkville and you got 60,000-70,000 cowbells ringing at one time. I mean, your ears hurt for days after that.
Right.
It's such an environment. I mean, anything can happen in Starkville, and they're getting better. Their defense is really getting better. Offense is starting to put things together. So I think they're going to give Georgia a really good game. Now, whether they can beat them or not, because Georgia is so strong in the fourth quarter, I think Mississippi State gets tired in the fourth quarter. I've been watching them, and they start out really strong. And by the fourth quarter, they're kind of – I don't know, the depth catches up with them, lack of depth, where Georgia gets stronger. So if it's a close game, I think Georgia will win it in the fourth quarter. If State can jump out there early and hold on, who knows?
If you're a State fan, you got to be happy with Coach Levy. I think he's been doing a really good job. He's been growing that team. And Mississippi State, listen, I don't know. It's all about money now, okay? And you know Texas A&M, your big schools have got the money. Does Mississippi State have the money to get the athletes in there?
Yep.
I heard him talking to it on one of the shows this week. You know, they talked to the head coach, they talked to the AD, and they had, you know, they've got some boosters. A lot of people don't realize, even though Starkville is a small town, it's one of the top engineering schools in the country.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they're also one of the top second or third where they what do they call it? Where they test stuff. They testing.
Research and development.
Research and develop. They're like the second or third top in the country in research and development. So they've got some boosters, and they were talking about a lot of the booster money that they had just this year have gotten from big boosters and, you know, ex-alumni, and they feel like they're, you know, they're growing.
All right, there's a lot of games going on. We're going to break down the rest of the SEC for you coming up here in just a little bit. Ohio State, have they got a big game? They're playing Purdue.
Oh, well.
We'll talk about the SEC.
Well, the Buckeyes. You know.
And I still don't know how many Mississippi State football players are going to major in engineering either.
Yeah, like the Vanderbilt. How many of them can pass the test to get into Vanderbilt?
There you go. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll wrap up this edition of Southern Fairways. Welcome back to Southern Fairways. Randy Berg along with Big 89 Russ Wood and Coach Barry Gibson. Thank you for allowing us to hang out with you on a beautiful Saturday morning. I'll tell you, it is this weather is getting right. This is what we call football weather.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Now, it's going to be cold Monday and Tuesday down here in the southern part of the state. So you that are listening to us in central and north Alabama, get you a jacket. It's going to get cold. It is going to get cold. You know, we were talking about Mississippi State and Jeff Levy and what he's done at Mississippi State. And I think we talk about this coaching carousel. His name has popped up a little bit. But, Barry, I think you said it in the break there. I don't know that he's proven himself yet to take one of these bigger positions. He's where he needs to be right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, he doesn't have the name recognition yet as a head coach. Now, he does as an offense coordinator. Everybody knows what a good offensive coordinator he was. But he's still proving himself as a head coach. They had a tough year last year, his first year. This year, better. And I think if they have even a better year next year, and you got to give him time to recruit. You know, he's playing with other people's recruits, you know,
right,
that came in there, other players. So I think he stays for a couple more years and then maybe takes a big job somewhere else.
It'll be interesting. You mentioned it too. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who goes to LSU, who they hire. But Florida is going to be an interesting hire as well. I think there's a lot of possibilities in Florida, but I think the job, if I were a coach and they were soliciting me, believe it or not, Auburn might be the place to go. You don't think so, Russ?
No.
Why?
Too much dysfunction over there right now. And, you know, they just, you know, when Jay Jacobs was there, yes. Jay Jacobs was the AD. He's one of the few ADs. When he hired Gene Chizik, he told him, he said, "You're my guy, but we're not dealing with Jimmy Sexton." He's probably one of the only ADs that's ever told him. And Chizik wins a national championship. He has a $6, $7 million buyout, which is right. He didn't have this $40 and $50 million, but he was very stern. And they're on about their third athletic director in the last five, well, since he resigned. He retired, so to speak. But until they get some control, you know, there, you know, the boosters are very strong over there, real strong.
Yeah.
And one of them in particular, you know.
Lowry. Louder.
Well, Jimmy Raines.
Jimmy too. Yeah.
They're proud of their program. And so, you know, and that's, if you gotta, you know, remember, most of these college coaches, you know, even Saban, you know, their salary is paid by the state, and that's it. All that other millions of dollars is paid by booster contribution in a fund paying the coaching staff. So the university can only pay them X number of dollars because they're state-run universities.
Barry, can you hurry up and get back into coaching?
No kidding.
Come out of retirement, man.
No, I guarantee you. But I tell you what, and you hear it every week, Randy, even from Nick Saban and some of these guys on game day at ESPN, Auburn is one of the toughest places to play, to go in and play.
Yeah.
So the potential, in my opinion, is tremendous. If you get, and we were talking about it before the show, Randy, you know, if you get the right fit.
Right.
If a guy comes in there, he embraces the Auburn culture, and really does a good job recruiting. Nobody likes to go into Auburn, into Jordan-Hare Stadium, and play. It is a tough place to win. And so I think, you know, it's got a lot of potential. It really does.
I mean, look, they're 1-5 in the SEC, 4-5 overall, and they're still packing the stadium.
Yep.
Okay, there's not empty seats.
Nope.
It is it's going to be interesting to see. And again, I think Durkin could be the coach there.
There's some empty seats. Don't let the TVs fool you.
Okay.
Not
what I'm being told either. So yeah.
Well, they're empty in the third quarter.
Yeah.
They start leaving. That's when they get empty. But when that game starts,
the upper decks are empty.
Yeah. All right, let's take a look here. Let's stroll around the SEC. At 12 o'clock, you'll have Ole Miss taking on the Citadel. Ole Miss is where they need to be. I mean, they're 8-1 right now. I think they're playing some good ball. Lane Kiffin, we know the deal there. Texas A&M and Missouri. We talked a little bit about that ball game. Texas A&M should not have a problem with Missouri starting that freshman quarterback.
Correct.
So any disagreement with that, Russ?
No, Texas A&M strong.
Auburn and Vanderbilt, again, this could be, with everything that's going on, there's a lot of disruption, but could Auburn go in there and upset Vanderbilt?
I don't think so. Vanderbilt's coming off a loss, and I think Vanderbilt's going to, they're out to prove a point that they are legit, even though they've got a quarterback that's been playing 8 years. So, you know, he's almost 30 years old. So, you know.
Bob, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to sue the NCAA for another 4 years, you know, of playing. But they are a good team. He's been injured. They, you know, their defense is very good. I think Vanderbilt probably, just because of the dysfunction at Auburn, nothing to take away from Auburn, but I think Vanderbilt.
Well, I'd like to know who's going to call the plays for Auburn. You know, you got Derek Nix, and I love Derek. He's a Southern Miss former player. And so I think Derek may call the play, but they really haven't come out and said yet who's going to call the plays.
Right.
Hugh Freeze called most of them. He's gone. What kind of offense are you going to see? What kind of play calling is going to take place? So I don't know. I'm curious to see that. And you said it, Randy. This could go either way now.
Yeah.
You know, if they get behind Durbin, all right, the defense coordinator, those players get fired up and get behind him, and they go into Nashville and play their butts off for him because they do love him.
That's right.
It could be a game, a closer game than most people think, but I still think the offense is the major question for Auburn. Who how they're going to score. They just can't score.
Yeah. You know, the
Kentucky
offensive line
is one of the worst defenses this year in the SEC, yeah. and they only scored 3 points
yeah.
against Kentucky.
Yeah.
Well, what you said, Coach, is probably the most – the key thing is who's calling the plays. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, with Hugh, they had the, you know, different people, and they he had, you know, like we said, multiple people calling. Now that he's gone, now that Durkin's taken over, I'd heard Durkin is going to turn it over to one person to run the offense.
Good move.
That's what you should be doing.
That's right.
And I think the same thing at LSU is what Wilson said. We're going to have one guy calling plays, and it's going to be condensed.
Clark Lee, the coach for Vanderbilt, his name's been thrown out there to possibly fill in one of these positions. LSU, I think, has been mm-hmm. has been talked about as
Wouldn't
well.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Well, let's talk about it. LSU and Alabama.
Yep.
You mentioned it earlier. You think the score is going to be somewhere around 44, what did you say, 42-14?
That was Matt.
Oh, that was
but
Matt.
But I agreed with
yeah.
you. I think it's going to be a romp. I think LSU is just so messed up right now, you know, within the players. And so, yeah, I think Alabama will handle business.
Russ, let me ask you this. Playing at Alabama, a day like today, a beautiful, gorgeous day, how much fun was it coming out onto the football field and just seeing the crowd just amped up for a rival like LSU?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, you know, the first game I started was LSU at night. Walking out in the Tiger Stadium was, you know, was I mean, even though it was their stadium and getting booed, the atmosphere, even though you're so focused on the game, you don't really you really didn't know there was one person in the stadium until the end of the game or, you know, when you got ahead or got behind.
Right.
And same thing, at, you know, in Tuscaloosa and Legion Field, we played a lot. It was, you know, it was just one of those moments, you know.
Yeah, back in your day, Legion Fields where you
yeah,
played.
Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. so you got to remember Brian Denny didn't hold but 52,000.
Right. right.
And we played Southern Miss there, unfortunately, lost for the first time in 22 years in 1982.
To the top.
I chased Ed Gum.
Brett Favre.
No, heck no.
Reggie Collier.
And
yeah.
They had Sam DeJarnett, a guy that got kicked out of Auburn, all SEC running back. And they had, I think Lewis Lips was on that team.
He was.
And they had like four guys on defense that went to the NFL. They had an open date against us.
Hanford Dixon, quarterback.
And they waxed us. I mean, well, it was a close game, but Coach Bryan only lost 3 games in 23 years in Tuscaloosa, and that was one of them.
And I'm going to tell you, and that was what, 1982?
82, yes.
I was at that ball game, and I just wanted to tell you thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I didn't get to go to many Alabama games. I finally go to an Alabama game, and you lose.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But LSU, you know, talking about them, the biggest question, you know, Nussmeier's been hurt, and Michael Van Buren, excuse me, who played at Mississippi State last year,
yep.
they say he's going to get some snaps, and the new coach, Wilson, has been talking, you know, it's going to be, you know, they say he's a run guy. There again, now that you got the head coach that was trying to do multiple tasks and, you know, they said Kelly got away from the run game, they're going to go back to that today. That's what worries me because Alabama's run game is not that good. Our offensively, we're not a good running team. Our offensive line's struggling. I think it's going to be it was 9.5 earlier. It's gone up to 10.5 I saw this morning. But I still think we got to go in there and take care of business, or it's going to be a long day.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. And then we'll wrap up 6:39 on the SEC Network. For those of you watching YouTube, you won't see this game. I had to make a change last week. Dadgummit.
Yeah.
Florida at Kentucky. And here again, Kentucky comes off the win, right? Florida is looking for a coach. Does Florida have the power to go to Kentucky and win that ball game? I think Lagway's a good quarterback. I think if he stays in the ball game, they have the potential of winning. So
yeah, I think they got the talent to win.
Even
with the coaching situation like it is, they still have talent at Florida. And so that's a different scenario than some of these other teams that lost their coach.
They've got talent. I played in Lexington. We played 1 year in 81. We went up there and played and – it's a small stadium. It's a little bit bigger, but they have a tough fan base.
Oh yeah, they're committed.
It's not as bad as Rupp Arena, but they like their football now.
Yeah, there ain't no doubt. Russ, it's been good to hang out with you 89.
Absolutely, guys. As always, I'm headed ahead to Tuscaloosa and watch the game.
Well, that's right. You're headed up there. Barry, Coach, it's always good to hang out with you. Thanks for coming in, man.
Getting ready to head to my sofa and watch the game.
There you go. We want to thank you for hanging out with us, too. We want to thank our producer, Steve Stanley, for keeping us on the air. We hope that you have a wonderful day. Roll Tide. For those of you pulling for Auburn, you can say it.
I can't say it.
Okay. War Eagle. There you go. All right. Hey, that's going to wrap it up for us. For the whole staff here, I'm Randy Bergen. Remember, hit a knee, say a prayer. God bless America. God bless Israel. See you next week. Till then, bye-bye, everybody.